for this next section is the who trains thus. I shall breathe in, experiencing the mental formation. Who trains thus, I shall breathe out, experiencing the mental formation. Who trains thus, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the mental formation. Who trains thus, I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the mental formation. This word, mental formation, is in Pali, citta sankhara. And I think the translation that Ajahn Buddhadasa that says the mind conditioner is probably a bit closer, although it is mental formation. This is where this word sankhara it has different contexts and different meanings. It does mean the mental formation, but it also means, say, that which forms the mind, that which is creating the mind, concocting the mind, conditioning the mind. So that, and both of these need to be understood, but in particular, this section is the section on vedana. These tetrads are lined up according to the four the foundations of mindfulness. So this is set up in the tetrad on vedana. And in the suttas, then the Buddha talks about the citta sankhara as what forms the mind, and that being vedana and sanya, feeling and perception. This is what is conditioning the mind. So that this is carrying on from the developing of the developing of sukha, the settling of the mind, refining of the mind, and with that refinement of mind, the mind that is well established in well-being, then one turns and investigates, recognizes clearly, experiences what is it that conditioning the mind. And of course, say, Bhiti and Sukha are an obvious sensation at the time, pleasant sensation, pleasant feeling. The mind is being conditioned in a particular way, so it's sort of used as a base for investigating. It's also, as a general sense, being able to take the stillness or the settledness of the mind and turn and investigate and experience what is it that conditions the mind. And in particular, investigating vedana, seeing more and more clearly how vedana has played such a crucial role in human experience, how much of our all the movement of mind is beginning from this little seed of vedana, the pleasurable feeling, an unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant or unpleasant, a neutral feeling. These are the three feelings that are they're So they're a part of every conscious moment. There's a certain feeling there. And the tendency, the impulse, is of course to go toward pleasant feeling, to try to avoid the unpleasant. And neutral feeling is sort of overlooked, or not paid much attention to, usually. So that the, and in particular the sense of the majority of a movement and motivations are going around, you know, how to avoid the unpleasant and how to try to gain the pleasant. And this is functioning in human consciousness, and of course it's not really recognized. It's not experienced, and it's not tranquilized. So it's constantly pushing human beings into following certain patterns. And of course it's very easily manipulated. It's like the whole economy are based on the fundamental instinct and impulse to seek that which is pleasant and try to avoid the unpleasant. Industries are based on trying to provide essential pleasure, essential gratification, security of happiness, so that it's definitely a problem of human existence, and if it's not understood, then one keeps wandering through life following the impulse to seek that which is pleasant or avoid that which is unpleasant. Even if one comes to practice the spiritual power, very often the very same motivations and habits are pushing us, so that we're constantly trying to, how can we avoid that which is unpleasant? How can we gain that which is pleasant? And not really discerning what is actually going to satisfy, what is actually going to lead to our well-being, what is actually going to lead to freedom. So that this tetrad, this is in terms of practice and meditation, it's extraordinarily important to have the cultivation of investigation, experiencing what these mental formations are, experiencing what is conditioning the mind, and being able to turn one's attention to tranquilizing, settling, making peaceful these mental formations, so that one can have a sense of say, autonomy, independence, freedom. The feeling can be there, but the push to have to gratify, to follow, to shrink back, to fear, to get trapped in insecurity, or to just be kind of clutching after the feelings and the sense of uncertainty of even if there's neutral feelings, it's sort of not really being clear enough so that one can make a stand even. So that the using the meditation, settling the mind with the mindfulness of the body, cultivating a sense of well-being, the mind starts to clear. Really starting to, then starting to turn attention to the investigation of experience. As one pays attention to the, say, the mental conditioning, what they'd say, they're seeing the pleasant feeling, and seeing it just as a feeling before it starts to move. Also just being able to see a feeling and to watch the associations, the perceptions, because this is what it, so the mental conditions in this are not just the feelings, it's also the perception. The perception is the memories and the associations that one has around things. So that to experience a pleasant feeling or an unpleasant feeling or a neutral feeling, and to stay with the feeling, or also to experience that immediate association, the memory, the perception that comes, whether it's one approves of it, one disapproves, or it triggers off things from the past, or triggers the things which one say that one associates with it. So this is all the perception, the samya. But because it's from there that the thought processes start to kick in, and then the liking and the disliking, the wanting and the not wanting, the approving and the disapproving, come from the feeling is a condition of say a resultant condition of sense contact. The because one has sense contact, then one is going to have feeling, and feeling is always going to be a like a result and a part and parcel of say each conscious moment. And the same with perception. These are called the vipaka conditions. The results of karma. So that the one needs to say take that stand of experiencing, staying with, being clear in the experience itself, because it's the next step is a karma condition, so the sankhara, the volition that's involved is starting to create karma, so that the reacting out of desire to a pleasant experience, the reacting out of aversion to an unpleasant experience, the reacting out of delusion and confusion, boredom, restlessness, with a neutral feeling. These are putting things into motion in the mind. This is adding karma to the formula, and then it starts moving. So that the a practice which is essential in being able to find a way through, say, the human experience, is to establish this mindfulness of the feelings, and using anapanasati, using the breathing as the foundation, as the base. This is the feeding and the reacting to the feelings themselves. The feelings themselves are quite natural, ordinary. Say just a part and parcel of the human condition. But but it's the adding to it that is going to create the problems. So the adding to the feelings with the reacting with desire to pleasant feelings is supporting the underlying tendencies, underlying defilements, what in Pali are called anusaya, the raga anusaya, the anusaya, anusaya. These are sort of underlying tendencies which keep sort of flowing through, so that the reacting to unpleasant feeling, painful feeling with aversion, is supporting and feeding the underlying tendency to ill will, to resistance, paticana side. And then the reacting to neutral feeling, either out of sloth and torpor, confusion, doubt, wrong view. These are the basis as a supporting the avijjana sign. So it keeps the underlying flow of consciousness is pulling one back into the stream of suffering, back into the stream of samsara. So there needs to be a conscious effort at some point to not be trapped into that flow, that underlying flow in through the mind. And feeling is a very obvious point for taking that stand. One, because it is reasonably clear if attention is paid. It is reasonably straightforward if one is watching closely. Whereas once you get into, because it's also important to make a distinction, say, between feeling and emotion. The feeling is just your basic, you know, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. The emotion around it is what's added to it. So that once it gets into the realm of emotion and rational processes, all the proliferations of mind, then it's very difficult to get a handle on it. So that coming back and establishing the awareness at the basic feeling gives a fresh start on how to open out into a space of clarity, a space of freedom. So just using that as a meditation with the breathing, breathing in, experiencing the mental formations, breathing out, experiencing the mental formations. Just trying to make it more and more clear, or allowing it to be clear, without adding anything to it. And this is a practice in itself, to use that to get a hold on the where the mind is going, where it's coming from, how it's being created, seeing that feeling, perception, and then the steps forward. And this is where the tranquilizing of the mental formations, they can be made tranquil in two different ways. One is by holding very firmly to the meditation object, sort of making a concerted effort to stay with the object and settling the mind on say on the breathing, on the sensation itself, and say that using concentration. And the other way of tranquilizing the unsettling the mental formations is through investigation, to sort of an insight into the nature. Because as you see how things work and see how they fit together, where they say the tendencies that they follow, then one has one can step back from them. They don't need to be so compelling. And it's like also the investigation is, especially if one using the mindfulness of breathing, using that sense of experiencing feeling, experiencing perception, is mental conditionings. It creates a space around it, creates some clarity around it, so that one doesn't need to react in the same way that one does. It's like if you're the difference between, say, walking along in the forest path here and say maybe the path is hasn't been swept for some time, it's not very clear, clean, and a snake is there, and you're right on top of it, and then you either step close to it, it gets frightened, you get frightened, excited, it's all the reactions are very, very close. As opposed to, say, like you're walking along, if there's an area, a large open space, and it's well swept, it's nice and clean, and you're walking along and you see a snake way up ahead there, you see it way ahead of time, and there's no cause for being say frightened or startled, because you see it ahead of time. And you take and say, well, I'll just go around here, or come up close to it, or go around this way, I'll just let it go past. You get your choices. The same with the mind. If you've established this clarity with, say, being with the breath, staying experiencing the sensations, what's conditioning the mind, what comes up, so you've got some space around it. And then you can make conscious choices. You can come up with skillful means to avoid, alleviate, to bring up something else, whatever. But if one doesn't have that space, then one's just sort of reacting, and that's what our life is mostly, just reacting to the things that are going on in our mind that arise out of very basic functions. Sense contact, feeling, and then the movement of the mind after the feeling. If it goes in particular sound part, then you're going into desire, attachment, becoming, trapped in the round of becoming. Having this settling and watching, investigating, seeing what the nature of the nature of feelings are, the nature of perception is. This is where the Buddha gives the image of say feelings being like a bubble, perception being like a mirage. And then, if one reflects on this is at this time, I mean, it's actually a good opportunity to reflect on the five khandhas in general. Then you start seeing how they work together. The body, the feelings, perception, mental formation, sense consciousness. Seeing how the body and mind are related together, how the senses of the body receive impressions, and then feelings come up, perceptions of the thought process, the consciousness is working through it all the time. Consciousness is actually what is selecting what it's going to pay attention to. But the Buddha says to look at the nature. The body is like foam, like froth. Feelings are like bubbles, and perception is like a mirage. The mental formations are like a banana tree, which has no center. You keep peeling the outside layer of the banana tree off, looking for the central core, and you find another layer, and another layer, and another layer, and another layer, and then there's nothing there anymore. There wasn't anything there. Sense consciousness is like it's like a magician's trick, and a conjurer's trick. So that the reflecting on that, especially when you're sitting, it could be any time. It's just sort of reflecting on the body as froth. Really, it's just the instability of the body, the insubstantiality of the body. It seems so solemn that it's quite interesting that say the Buddha comparing it to froth, and then 2,500 years later, that the science establishes that it is sort of froth. It's 90% water. It was froth. Or even in terms of the nature of atoms and molecules, the 99% space. It seems so solid. It's froth in space. There's nothing much there. And then when the body dies, the breath leaves the body, and then it definitely becomes froth. So the bubbles up, and then it bubbles away, it melts away. It was froth. It wasn't anything special. These feelings of being like bubbles, just arising and bursting, like soap bubbles. And when you're a kid, you're playing, blow up these bubbles, and they're so pretty, and then pop, they're gone. And pop, they're gone. And that's feelings are just like, especially as you're sitting, and the mind starts to settle down, and this it becomes so sort of clear or so strong, actually, this sense of this feelings of this arising and bursting, whether they're pleasant or they're unpleasant or they're neutral, is just this bursting of these bubbles of feeling. And if you're not, especially when you're not adding to them, then it's just this series of bursting bubbles. And it's not just that's how it was. We haven't noticed it, we haven't paid attention to it, haven't been clear enough to recognize it. So that to turn attention to that quality of just the how feelings, when they're not added to, they tend to burst, and then they go to something else. A perception was a mirage, where we, like seeing in the distance of seeing on a hot highway or something, and then seeing a shimmering, looking like it's water in the distance. And that's what perception is like. It tends to this creation of an image of what it, particularly associations, is creating images which are through association, through memory, perceiving things, and so it doesn't have to have anything to do with reality at all. But the association is there, the image is created out of the mind. So sense consciousness it pays attention. It's a conscious trick in the sense that it's selective. It's paying attention to. It's very uncertain, and it's tying it all together. It's pulling it all together and creating the illusion of continuity, of attractiveness or of unpleasantness. I can't bear this. This consciousness is tying it all together, and the images are being more. More firmly established. The thought processes are through volitional action, through intention, through the mind consciously choosing certain directions and tendencies and biases. We react out of like or dislike, of wanting or not wanting. We react with intelligence and wisdom. We react with foolishness and ignorance. These are the creations of the mind. So that if we investigate these formations, there's a sense of dispassion sets in. Sense of clarity, and that's the foundation for our practice. It's to experience a sense of relief from the constant impingement of feeling, perception, the reactions to it, the suffering that is created out of it. The confusion that tends to underlie it, so that it once there's a sense of, say, a clear experiencing, a settled quality of being able to tranquilize the mental formations, then there's this sense of ease coming into the mind. We start to be able to say experience things in different ways, in the sense of what would normally be the cause for creating problems and complexities and confusion. What cuts through that? And just being able to cut through that is the path. Learning how to and it's the seeing clearly and the experiencing fully, the ability to, and the willingness to say to tranquilize, to settle things. That allows one to say that the cutting through actually takes place. So one experiences it. Sense of this peace. This is why the Buddha says that peace is the highest happiness. And this is, you know, if we're talking about feelings, bringing the feelings to a place of peace. And so the Buddha says that everything converges on feeling. And if the feeling is experienced with underlying tendencies, underlying defilements, lack of wisdom, then it just keeps going on and on, and there's no respite. Whereas the experiencing things fully with conscious, clear states of mind, turning and appreciation of tranquility, tranquilizing, settling. And then one starts to experience peace. The feeling, it converges on feeling also, but the feeling is, it has a different tone to it. A tone of repleteness, of being fulfilled. I offer that for your reflection this evening.